Welcome to the Smith and Rowland Show. Let's join our host, Alan Smith and Jeff Rowland.
And we're here with the Smith and Rowland Show. And yeah. We've been talking about all kinds of stuff today. This is our second segment of the day.
What do you think we could get off of this?
I mean, I think we should. I think we should move on.
Let's talk about solutions, sure enough. Yeah. Here's a solution. I think let's frame it as foundationally this way. The true believers that know Jesus Christ as Savior need to encounter the power of God.
And give me a definition of that.
Okay, well, we was talking about the power of God a little bit this morning. Mm-hmm. And from Revelation 5:1, it says, we talked about the right hand of the throne of God. Mm-hmm. Well, there's scripture after scripture after scripture about what is at the right hand of the throne of God. That's mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And Stephen, when he was stoned, he looked up and he said, I see him standing at the mm-hmm. right hand of the Father. Book of Hebrews said when he made an offering for sin, he sat at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. There are times when Jesus stands
That's right.
at the right hand of the Father. And the power from the throne of God was issued to Stephen in such a way that Stephen responded this way, Father, lay not this sin to their charge.
That's right.
He prayed for the very ones mm-hmm. that were stoning him. I think we need the power of God, but I talked about a little bit this morning. I didn't go into great detail, but I talked a little bit about this. There's something that precedes the power of God, and that's the presence of God.
Yeah.
You have to get in the presence of God.
That would be a very good idea.
Yeah.
yeah. Especially if you're going to go praying demons out there.
Right. I've heard others say this, that a lot of people are seeking his hand and they need to be seeking his face.
Mm-hmm. I'm just seeking all of him.
I'd take anything.
Yeah, toe, big toe, little toe.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But I do believe that the power of God in the lives of the believers is the solution mm-hmm. to the problems we have in society. It's come down to that's the only answer and the only solution. You're not going to politically fix this. I don't think we're going to politically fix it.
Do you not think that you're talking about the power of God here. You're talking about the real power of God.
Yes.
The real power of God is the only thing that will combat this, I think, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And of course, you're talking about let me ask you this. What would happen if maybe our numbers are down, but what would happen if every Christian would see and would believe that the second coming of Christ could be today or at least next week?
There you go.
What if
it changed the way we live?
Would it change the way we live our life? Would we go out of here carrying the gospel of Christ? Now, I wonder if the power that we know the power of God falls on the word of God. I don't care who says it, according to Paul says, as long as you're preaching Jesus, let him go. So mm-hmm. I wonder if we had a blitz of the people of God sharing the gospel of Christ, mm-hmm. what would happen? You know as well as I do, Jeff, a lot of this stuff, the only way it's going to be fixed is if they run into Christ and they repent.
Oh, yeah.
All of us, we repent of sin.
Yeah.
And that repentance is, that power of repentance is what changes a country.
That's right.
I think what we get disgusted at, or maybe I should just speak for myself, what I get disgusted with is that I guess I maybe shouldn't use the word audacity, but it kind of makes me perhaps a little prideful, but it's shame that people could behave in such a way, and it's so shaming. I watched a little old clip of John Kennedy. And he was talking about the press and the media. And he said, the press and the media, he said, you are the ones that can turn this country in any direction based on how you're reporting mm-hmm. what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. He said, your responsibility is greater than mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so we have the way this stuff is being covered.
Yeah.
And of course, you know as well as I do, it's according to which news group you go to,
right.
on which light it's being mm-hmm. cast, and there's nine for every one conservative, there's nine liberal views on it. But anyway, so I just wonder what would happen if we had a move of the Spirit upon God's people.
Well, consider this. And if the power of God is the answer, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. Then later, when he was writing to the church of Corinth, he then said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Mm-hmm. And he lays out the definition for the gospel. It's very shallow to just use the word gospel. Well, it means good news. It's much more than that. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Jesus died, how that he was buried, how that he rose again on mm-hmm. the third day. So those three elements, he died, he was buried, he rose again. When we're following Christ, here's the thing. I don't believe we're dead enough. I know we're not buried enough. Mm-hmm. And it is obvious that there is very little resurrection power mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in most people's lives. Mm-hmm. That is the gospel. The transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ should lead us into Paul's teachings in the book of Romans, how we reckon ourselves as dead.
And that's an incredible, just absolutely incredible thought process that you're using there that is scriptural, because if you take a tree out here in the woods, a tree, nobody goes around the forest and fertilizes trees.
Right, that's right.
So what mm-hmm. fertilizes the tree? Well, what fertilizes the tree is the year before the leaves fall off, limbs break, fall to the ground.
That's right.
And then all of that stuff on the ground decomposes, it rots, it dies, mm-hmm. and falls to the ground, decomposes.
Yeah.
That creates a bacteria mm-hmm. that causes it to break down all of this organic material. Now, the only way I know to say it is like this, and I know if there's a biologist out there, he's going to correct me on it, but if microbes is the poop of bacteria, mm-hmm. if you will.
Right.
Microbes is what causes a plant to take up food nutrients out of the soil. Now, this is what I'm saying. You're saying it has to die. Last year's death is the fertilizers to next year's growth.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yeah, buddy.
And so when the scripture tells
now
us to
preach what you're doing,
that's,
right there,
I'm telling you,
that's good.
Last year's death is this year's growth.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the death is necessary. Now, the microbes, in my estimation, is the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost works with what's dead.
That's there you go.
To bring life.
To bring life.
So if we want true power,
yeah.
I mean, the person who is the quickest to run to repentance should be a believer, me and you.
That's right.
And Jason, we should be quick to repent in knowing that our repentance gives opportunity to bring fertilization, if you will, to the power of God in our lives, to fertilize us for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I think that the humility, I mean, you know, as well as I do, Jeff, God, you know, he's going to resist the proud.
Yeah.
The word of God says he's going to give grace to the humble. And the only way we can operate in the power of God is by through the grace of God. But I believe there's a truth in what you were saying. Excuse me, I guess I kind of cut you off there.
No.
That the death is of necessity.
And it's a continual dying
it
process.
It is a continual
It's
dying
a continual
process.
Dying process. When you get to and a lot of people overlook this part. The burial of Christ is just as much a part of the gospel as the death of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said that he was buried according to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Then Paul comes along and says this, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Mm-hmm.
And the analogy there is one of the punishments that Rome instituted on people during the rule was that they would actually strap a dead corpse to their body,
that's right.
and they'd have to tote it around.
Wow!
So it's like we're going back into the tomb, and we're finding our old flesh and mm-hmm. putting it back on
mm-hmm.
and walking around with.
Wow, that stinks.
You know, so the burial process is just as significant to the gospel as the death. And I think that a lot of us, when I say we're not buried enough, I mean that we're constantly going back into the old, into the graveyard and mm-hmm. trying to find pieces of our old man, and we're walking around with it,
mm-hmm.
even after it's dead, so to speak, you mm-hmm. know?
Jason and I were talking today at lunch about people, and it was just overwhelming, people who have walked with God and walked out of their past sin mm-hmm. or past attitudes mm-hmm. and behavior how that 20, 30 years later, and we were talking about a particular situation, that Jason was so disappointed that Alan, you know, how can they, it's like they're going back to where they were.
Yeah, right.
And so it makes you wonder, were they ever walking with God? And of course, the answer is yes, but they're returning. They're returning mm-hmm. back.
They're
to
going
their,
to the graveyard. Yeah,
yeah, going to the graveyard.
That's right. That's right.
It's kind of like, well, do people ever change?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, that
they can revert. They can revert. You can revert back to your past behavior.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the changes are. See, it's just like a tree. Let me use a forest again. A tree, when a tree dies and the leaves fall off, that the analogy, the symbolism there is. The next year, that oak tree is still an oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't lose your personal identity.
Yeah.
It's just this stuff that's dying off of us that we mm-hmm. think's alive. It falls and it falls down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for us to return back to what's already mm-hmm. dead, like you're saying, which yours is much more graphic than my symbolism. I'll be honest with you. I had a taste in my mouth.
Is this a cough drop?
A cough drop? What's going on? But... It's still so. When we see the United States, we see mm-hmm. all of this Babylon happening. What the deal is? We're going back again to Genesis, the beginning yep. of Genesis.
Yeah, that's yep. right.
You see,
yeah.
mankind is trying to run yeah. back to that Tower of Babel,
animalistic lifestyle.
It is. It's yeah. totally. It is, Jason. That's
yeah. It's a pre-redeemed mind.
It
yeah,
is. That's right. Totally. That's right. A good way to put it, Jason.
That's exactly
it's
right.
a pre-redeemed mm-hmm. mind. Now, the scary part is when, and I think Jason hit on it today at lunch again, too. It's when you hit a place of, Jason said to me, he said, when did this word happy take on so much meaning? Happy. And he said, if I hear happy again, I'm going to just slap somebody.
You're tired of people being happy.
Well, they're using that as their excuse.
They are. That's exactly yeah. right.
They're living into happiness.
That's right.
That's not the point of life at all.
No. It's certainly not the mandate of Scripture.
No.
So just getting back to what we're talking about, you have the death of Christ, you have the burial of Christ, and I don't think we're dead enough.
Where's the happiness?
And I don't think that we're buried. The happiness they're looking for is in that graveyard, in that tomb. That's what they're putting back on and calling it happiness. Mm-hmm. And they're walking around with a dead corpse strapped to themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth.
And it's going to smell.
Absolutely. There you go. There's a stench to it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul then goes on to say this.
But death has a purpose, is what you're saying.
But you don't need
to wear it around.
You don't need to wear it around.
You need to let dead be dead.
And let it be covered up in the tomb. Stop opening the door to the tomb and mm-hmm. having everybody come in and look at your old dead mess.
So what you're saying is we're resurrecting the wrong thing.
We're resurrecting
that's
the wrong thing.
That's exactly
Paul right. said this in another place. He said, that I may know him and that's the right. power of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not risen enough either.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed something out, and watch this. There's a connection.
Okay, go for it.
I didn't get there this morning, and I wanted to so bad, but I run out of time. If we then be risen with Christ,
mm-hmm.
seek those things which are above, which is at the right hand
Uh-oh.
Of the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're back to the right hand mm-hmm. of power. Okay? Now watch this. If the power of God is the solution, and I'm convinced that it is, at least to the believing remnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's the solution of how we sustain. We've got to have the power of God. It means we need more of the gospel of Jesus Christ activated in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why that at Dodger Stadium, they're making a mockery of the cross. They're not just making a mockery of the church. They're not just slamming the church. They've actually got a man on a cross.
Are you sure?
Yes, no, I seen it this morning. He's somebody on a cross, and perverted transgenders are crawling all over the cross.
It's like that painting that's in the serious? In the. It's like that painting that's in Parliament in England.
Yeah, right.
It's that same
it's
image.
It's the same image. It's the same thing.
Same. And I have not seen that image.
I prefer the painting,
and I will not look it up.
You don't need to. It'll make you sick. It'll make you sick, I'm telling you. But the truth, what I'm saying is I don't think that we're dead enough. I don't think we're buried enough, and I don't think we're risen again enough. And I think what we need is more of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness.
Well, where did Jesus mess up not giving us all them enoughs?
Yeah, he didn't. No. It's there for us.
No, it's there.
It's there.
Enough is there.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, praying for us to enter more deeper into the gospel. I believe. Well,
let me tell you what I waded into on that same thought, and you tested both of you guys. It is a, let's say that, you know, we're raised in school and everything about, and they're business mindedness, I guess you could say. And we have this idea that you have short term investment, you have long term investment, and we're thinking about those two things. If I really believed of the second coming of Christ could be at any moment.
Yeah.
Everything I did in business would be short term investment.
That's exactly right.
If I really believed it.
Yeah.
And the only long term investments that I would make would have to do with that's eternal.
Yeah. That's right.
Are you with me?
That's right.
But every other decision is going to be more short term. Now I know that a lot of people just don't agree with me right there. But nonetheless, let that challenge you a little bit.
Part of what I preached this morning.
Well, I knew you read my notes.
Apparently, you know, you came over and looked at my computer or something. I don't know what you did. But listen, that doctrine of imminence is pivotal.
It's pivotal. Huge. It's huge. Yeah.
And it's being lost. Mm-hmm. It is being lost. And I think
it gives when Jesus judged the seven churches, you know, he judged it based off of their love and their zeal and their faithfulness.
Yeah.
There's three things.
Mm-hmm.
Which we spoke about that a little bit last week on how when Jesus judged the seven churches, it was over relational problems.
Yeah.
It wasn't over doctrinal problems.
That's right. Yeah.
Even though they had all these externals coming into the church, what he judged them by was where their heart was.
Yeah.
You see, and that was all a relational problem. It had a relational problem.
Yeah.
So I think what we're all saying here is, and what we're trying to stumble upon is, yes, we do have problems in the world. We have problems in our country. We also got a problems in our churches. And God's people also have a little bit of a problem. And it's more than body odor. I think it's spiritual odor.
It's spiritual odor. And that's right. You're right.
I think it's from you're carrying
right.
around
it's
what you're saying.
Exactly.
This,
right. I agree. I totally.
I
believe that. Yeah.
You know, I think there's something, I don't know, it just kept coming to mind, was when Jesus was hanging on the cross and those two thieves that was getting hung with him, the difference in those two thieves, they were both dying.
Yeah.
They both were heading to the same hole.
That's right.
You know, one of them said, so you're a Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too.
Yeah.
It was that like selfish mentality.
Yeah.
That, oh, well.
Yeah.
You know,
so self-absorbed.
So self-absorbed.
Even in death.
In death. You couldn't.
Think of it.
Yeah. The other guy was, we deserve this.
Yeah.
You know, remember me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know, there's something, I was reading that earlier this week, and there's something about that.
Struck
that's just
a chord in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's what, we're all thieves.
Yeah.
How,
that's right.
How are we going to respond?
That's exactly right. How are we going to respond? And again, I go back to when Stephen was stoned, when he saw the right Jesus at the right hand of God, and it's worded that way in Acts, at the right hand of God. And the right hand is always about power. Exodus 15, thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the power of God being demonstrated. When he saw that, it was then that he was so humbled that he cried out and said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. He's immediately forgiving those that are stoning him and going to kill him.
But you know, Jesus didn't address the other guy. He didn't address the situation.
Yeah.
He didn't, he just responded to the one guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't respond to the other.
Mm. What about that?
Mm.
What about that? Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just find it interesting.
That is interesting. I think the battle lines have been drawn. We know where the battle is. We know the strategy of Satan. Mm-hmm. He's no longer in hiding.
He used to
hide.
Can somebody say amen?
Yeah, when we were kids growing up,
he was pretty much
was hiding. It was subtle, you know, what he was doing.
Well, you'd say he's
now,
in the closet.
He's definitely come out of the closet. And he no longer cares to even use his own name, you know. He does not care. According to what Jason put up there, Target don't care to use his name neither. But the solution has got to be talked about. And I really truthfully believe that the solution is the gospel of Christ and doing exactly what you said, living our lives with an expectancy that Jesus could come back today. And that's how important that doctrine is, Alan.
And it'll help you in making daily decisions.
Yeah. Yes, it will. It absolutely will.
I tell you what's the truth. It'll help you in daily decisions. All short-term decisions should be made in light of Christ's return.
That's right.
And all long-term should have everything to do with eternity.
That's right. And can I tell you, this may be because I'm getting old, and I'm older than dirt. I know that. I've got a lot of miles on.
Well, I've seen dirt older than you.
Well, yeah. I ain't seen much. But I can tell you this. The older I get, the more I want to take advantage of every opportunity now. Mm-hmm. It's like I can't let an opportunity slip by. Mm-hmm. When a kingdom opportunity is presented, it just drives me crazy.
Yeah, it does.
And
you drive me crazy too.
Exactly right. And, which is part of my purpose in being here, ladies and gentlemen, is to drive Alan completely crazy.
Your purpose. Let me bring this up right quickly. We need to let people know that you and I are together writing a book about the revival that was at first it was Gospel Way,
right. Mm-hmm.
And then we went across the road and we renamed Shiloh. And the reason is it was the Shiloh community, still is.
Yeah.
The Shiloh community. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we're going to name it.
But you know, we didn't know that at the time.
No, we didn't. I remember that.
We didn't even know. I didn't. You know, we was praying, asking God, what there was something about the name and
you
needed
Shiloh.
A name. And,
you like
and
Shiloh.
And I just hear that. I hear that name, Shiloh. And then we found out it was in the Shiloh Township or Shiloh something or other.
Community and, or something there.
So anyway, that was kind of wild.
But we are, we're putting together a book.
I started
revival,
on it yesterday,
Revival at Shiloh, and we're gathering things.
Yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
We got Mike and Janine Deal with us. They are here even today, and they're bringing us information. Anybody that has any videos or if you'd like to write your experience
at Shiloh
in the revival at Shiloh, and some of it is, like I say, it was at Gospel Way, we called it.
Yeah.
And we went across the road and renamed it into a new building. But if anybody has anything they'd like to bring up, this book, and we know it's being birthed by the Spirit, and we're going to put on pen and paper revival
as best we can.
And part of our motivation is, our main motivation is to bring a light to what God did during that time.
Just to glorify the
Lord. And another reason is we've had to defend some misrepresentation of the great work that God did there.
Yeah.
So we thought, nobody can tell the truth of what happened there no more better than you and I.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, we're the good, bad, and the ugly started and stopped with
us. Exactly right.
All righty. Well, why don't somebody pray for us?
Go ahead, Jeffro.
Father, you're wonderful. And Lord Jesus, we honor you today because, God, I know the world seems to be turning in a way toward blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
You told us, Lord Jesus, not to marvel that the world hate us.
That's
they
right.
hated you too.
Amen.
And Lord, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, Lord, honor you that the passion and the joy that was set before you secured my redemption, my forgiveness.
Mm.
May I die enough, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
May I be buried enough.
Mm-hmm.
May I be resurrected enough.
Mm.
Lord, this is personal, but I'm going to do this. You reminded me not too long back that you was going to restore me as in the days of my youth.
Mm.
Lord, I'm just reminding you that that's in your word. And Lord, I ask that be a word to my heart and to everybody else's heart that's here. Restore us as in the days of our youth. There's somebody listening right now. There's somebody listening that needs to hear that very word right there. Mm-hmm. You're going to be restored as in the days of your youth.
Yeah.
Thank you for your wonderful mercy and your grace to us. Bless this work, and we'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining today's Smith and Rowland Show. You can check out our website at kingdomprophetic society.org and our daily Unplugged podcast at smithandrolandshow.podbean.com. You can also join us on Amazon, Apple, or Spotify.